This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Laura.
And I'm Rachel.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything.
Welcome to our very special guest, Jet Setting Jasmine. We are so thrilled to have you.
It's a big day.
Thank you so much. It is a big day. I'm happy to be here.
Very special day. We're talking about a special topic, and we got a special guest. We're talking about pregnant.
I mean,
we've got a lot of questions, so hopefully you have a lot of answers.
But first, if you don't already know, Jet Setting Jasmine is a licensed clinical psychotherapist, along with an international sex educator and master fetish trainer. Jasmine co-owns with partner King Noir, who you may remember from our show, three-time award-winning Royal Fetish Films, and together they have over 20 years of experience as adult entertainers, directors, and producers. The duo's love of the arts, film, and sex education are combined to produce erotica that stimulates and engages the audience to explore their sexual boundaries. Their work on the decolonization of sex and porn and politics has been featured in Vice, Playboy, Forbes, Cosmopolitan, BBC, Psychology Today, and more.
Yes, let's hear it.
Yes, my prices just went up.
Okay. Nice. How has your quarantine been?
It's been a quarantine. You know, all jokes aside, and it has been the best that I could imagine that quarantine could possibly be. I mean, no one exactly prepares for this, right? So I'm with my family. We have a very comfortable home in Florida, so it's warm. You know, we definitely have enough space to be able to go outside and those type of things. Our parents live about 15 minutes away from us. Yeah, you know, we're able to kind of have a family pod. And our oldest daughter lives 5 minutes away. So, you know, there's enough spaces for people to go, but not exactly, you know, be out and about. So it's been tough because one of my favorite ways of dealing with life stress is to run and escape and travel someplace hot with a hot guy. And yeah, so King and I, we just try to find other rooms to make vacation spots.
I love that.
Yeah, less jet setting than usual, I imagine.
Yeah, he's called me office setting Jasmine. If there are any good names that I quarantine Jasmine, we got it.
Respectfully observing lockdown Jasmine.
Thank you. I do kind of need a quarantine name because it does hurt every time I type my name. Damn, where are you going, girl?
How has the quarantine kind of affected making content for you and King?
For me, it has been really interesting, and I'll kind of explain this. So King and I, we've had some amazing opportunities to create content for a couple of different companies that were, you know, looking for people who can fuck each other and not have to worry about COVID and the liability and travel and all that kind of stuff. So we've created a lot of socially distanced films over this course of time, and we've been working with creating content for Royal Fetish Films in conjunction with kink.com and doing some SDBDSM, so socially distanced BDSM. It's been hot. It's been really interesting. I've been learning new ways to excite myself through using technology. I have definitely pushed my hat as a director. So like being able to direct something using like one laptop for Zoom, another one for FaceTime, doing like check-ins and negotiations with people, you know, it definitely has pushed my skill set. And so it's like, if you can do this online, there's no reason why you can't give somebody an amazing experience in person. So yeah, that's been kind of cool. Challenges we don't want, but when we like nail them, we feel really proud about it.
Yeah, you're making it work.
Mm-hmm.
It's really impressive. That's,
yeah. Yeah. All while still having a family.
A whole ass family.
Which, again, doubly impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have a 3-year-old is the youngest in our family circle. And then our moms are in their 70s. So we have the whole intergenerational thing going on.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And our teen, our 16-year-old, and then our adult, our young adult 20-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. We talked a little bit about it with King, but I'd be curious to hear from you, too, about parenting your position. Like, we talked about sex work and parenting and, like, drawing the necessary borders. Like, what has your experience been with that, especially with your older kids?
Yeah, it's been really beautiful. I mean, one of the main things that I set out as a parent is to, like, just do, like, one step better than my mom did. Like, if I could just, I could just, like, improve the generation, you know, the generational dysfunction or whatever by, you know, by an iota, like, then I can die a happy woman. And I definitely think we've done leaps and bounds in that area. So just, like, you know, the fact that my adult daughter, adult daughter now is able to come and share with me things that she's experiencing in her partnership. You know, that's been phenomenal. Like, these are things that I wasn't able to talk to my mom about. I wasn't able to say, you know, like, mom, I'm dating this guy and I'm kind of thinking like I want to be intimate in this way. Like, just no. You know, so that has been really, really cool to see the work that I've done with her when she was 6 and about having like autonomy of her body and centering her pleasure. You know, seeing some of the work that we put into these kids early on and it actually turning out to be an amazing experience for them as young adults. Right. And also for us as parents, like being able to expand our relationship with our children as they get older, which oftentimes our parents keep seeing us as like 9-year-olds or, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm able to see my daughter as a young woman, and that it feels awesome. The same with our middle child. She is, she is a member of the LGBTQIA community, and like being able to like kind of talk about how can we support you? Do we need to support you differently than we did with your sister? So with my, our 16-year-old, being able to explore what it's like to be a teenager that identifies in the LGBTQIA community and what that's like to have supportive parents from jump, not like, you know, we never did like a coming out the closet ceremony and all of those things, which are, you know, they're beautiful, but they're not warranted if there was never a closet to be in, you know? So having those kind of experiences as our kids are getting older is very reaffirming to the principles that we put in place, which is to allow our children to have autonomy of their body, to be able to center pleasure, and to be able to show up as their authentic self. So,
wow, that's truly beautiful.
Thank you.
It really is.
Thank you.
I'd like to know, like, what was your own personal kind of discovery with like sex positivity and kink and fetish?
It wasn't positive.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, I definitely grew up in a household where talking about sex and sexuality was very, very taboo. It was shamed, if anything. Body exploration. Like, I am like raised by a Filipino Catholic woman. Right. Mm. So like some real hardcore everything from religious and religious shaming around sex and sexuality to cultural. And, you know, I do have a really great relationship with my mother now that things are in context, you know, but so I do have an understanding of like where her teachings and why, how she was trying to safeguard us, but it was like not coming off as good. I have a really good understanding of that, and I do appreciate the effort, you know. And so I think as a mother, especially a mother to daughters, I can, there's a relatability that makes, allows me to go, Mom, I understand, I forgive you, but I am actually who I am, yeah. You know? And so, so my upbringing was definitely heavily laden with shame. But as I've gotten older, a couple of things have taken place. One is that the idea of parenting one step better than my mom. Mm. And part of that, you know, part of the spheres that I had to look at included sex and sexuality. What did she do that wasn't helpful? And mm. what could I be doing that's helpful for my kids? But how can I teach them that if I don't really know what that means for me? And yeah. so at the age of 30, I just went on this whole like sexual exploration. I was just like, I'm going to do everything and I'm going to record it. And I'm going to, and anybody who wants to come along with me, like, you're more than welcome. And anyone who doesn't want to be on this journey, like, fuck you. Yeah. And I did. Like, I literally was using the hashtag, I do what I want.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely. And what happened is, like, I found out on this sexual exploration that a lot of things, a lot of fetishes and a lot of kinks had already been in me. I just didn't have a name for it or a safe place to exercise it. So, like, domination, I've been dominating boys for as long as I can remember. Like, that was my job. And yeah. like, it still is my job, you know?
Yeah.
Edging, like, I was definitely the girl in high school that people would be like, okay, she's definitely not a virgin. And she's out there, but like, none of the guys can exactly say that they fucked her because they didn't, yeah. because I edged yeah. them. And, you know, like, I love the idea of blue balls. Like, I yeah. love, like, you know, most people were like afraid that they were going to give their boyfriend blue balls or like, what's going to happen? Is he going to be mad at me? Is he?
Yeah.
All of those things that come up were
yeah,
like
such a good point. Yeah,
not me. I was just like, yeah, how blue
you just
can they get?
It. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. How does that feel? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had the nickname in high school, Dick Tease, and I loved it. It was like, yeah, like I like the idea of getting in these situations where we almost are intimate with each other, but you can never have a notch on your belt because of me. It's like maybe yeah. like a you could put like a little asterisk, but you cannot put yeah. the full notch, and. Yeah. I didn't know that that was a thing. It was a dynamic and it was a sexual turn on.
Yeah.
I later understood that a part of some traumatic experiences, this was a way of owning some control, some being able to articulate what I wanted and didn't want and how I wanted the people intimately around me to behave. I just didn't have like the language and the community for it. And so like fast forward, I got this shit down packed now.
Yeah.
It's, I was going to say, it's amazing. There's such an obvious sort of power dynamic at play there that must have yeah. been so fun even before you could really identify mm-hmm. or parse
yeah.
what you were sort of tapping into.
Mm-hmm.
When did psychotherapy come into play? And also, you know, I always ask like three-tiered questions. But so first, like, when did therapy get into play? And then the follow-up being like, what does the Venn diagram of your work look like now? Like, how does psychotherapy intersect with your sex work?
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a great question. So so psychotherapy came first. It's funny, like I was a peer counselor in sixth grade. If that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was a peer mediator.
Me too. See? I was also a peer mediator.
I got to show you.
Big.
I got, it just things. Happens to be here because my mom is giving our listeners,
we are getting a great shot of a peer counselor plaque. Yes, like an award engraved. Oh, I love this.
And it says Jet Setting Jasmine.
You know? I always knew. So it's so funny that I have that because my mom is like cleaning out her place. She's like, you need these things now. I'm like, no, yeah. I don't. But so it's always been there, just as early as my kinks, right?
Yeah.
I, you know, went to college and studied and decided that I always knew that I wanted. So it's interesting story. Since we're going to talk about pregnancy, I was like 19 and I was going to be applying for admission to the School of Communications at the Florida State University. I was okay. so dead set. I didn't know what the hell I was going to talk about. I just knew that y'all were going to hear my voice one day.
Yeah.
And then I got pregnant. And then I was like, oh, shit. Like, I need to get out of school fast. And so I went and I saw a counselor. And the counselor said, like, hey, like, look at your transcripts. You've been taking sociology courses all along. Why don't you just apply for a major in sociology? I was like, okay, whatever. I just need to graduate. And so that kind of just like took me into what came natural for me, which was helping other people process their feelings and thoughts and being nosy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's part of it. Y'all know that too. It's like, if you're a peer counselor, you get to hear everybody's business, right? Yeah. The part that they just like don't tell you early on is that you can't repeat it in that part.
Right. That's hard
for me. Yeah. I know. So I started the therapy aspect first and foremost, and I was, you know, doing the regular run of 9-to-5 jobs. I've been a social worker in a lot of medical settings. I went on to work for about 14 or 15 years for the Department of Veteran Affairs as a national program manager, doing a lot of work around caregiving and intimacy post-illness and intimacy post-injury. So whenever you see the VA talking about intimacy, that was me. That was my big program. On top of closer towards the end of my time there, I was working to help providers talk about intimacy at bedside. So when you're discharging someone with a heart condition, actually asking, do you have any questions about how this medication might have an impact on intimacy or how your functional ability might have an impact on your, you know, on your sex, your sex life. Yeah. And, you know, like providers being like, yeah, I don't know if I can ask that. Like, is it like something legally that you can't ask, or is it something intrinsically in value set? And often, always it was intrinsic, feeling uncomfortable and awkward. So really helping them frame like, yo, like at the end of life, do you really want to know your medication list, or do you want to know if you can hold the hands of the person that you love? You know, and it's a no-brainer. Intimacy is always going to be highest on our list. So kind of like how we talk about pleasure-centered sex, I kind of think about intimacy-centered healthcare. So anyways, long story short, I did all this shit. And and at the same time, it's like, well, like intimacy is important for me as well. How am I expressing myself? How am I exploring intimacy? And like I told you, I just started this journey of like, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to try to do all the things that like anything that was like attached to like that's nasty or that's disgusting or only whores do that or like what a slutty thing to say or to wear. Like I was like, okay, yeah, I want to do all those things. The Venn diagram now, at one point it was two circles that were not touching. The more and more I realized that not being my authentic self, so not telling people that I was hosting sex toy parties for pole dancing parties, that I'm a therapist, was really limiting the kind of questions that they would ask me. Or at the end of the night when everyone is like bought all these dildos, but then they're all crying because what they really want is like love and adoration and worship, you know, from their partner. Yeah. And I'm like, oh yeah, this could totally be a whole group session right now. I'm supposed to be like the sexy go fuck everybody woman, you know? And so like cutting myself off in those circles. And then at work, you know, seeing like blatant disrespect for people's autonomy of body, self, intimacy, sexual orientations, alternative relationships. I hate that word, but different styles of relationships.
Yeah.
I was realizing like, gosh, it's kind of shitty that I could really be helping these people with some kinky things if I wasn't being repressed, and some of it being even self-repression. So at some point in this journey over the last 10 years, I was just like, kind of like, fuck it. You know, like, it's on Twitter. You're going to find it eventually.
Sure.
You know, I had conversations with my family and the people that were closest to me the most. And ultimately, I wasn't asking for their permission. I was just letting them know that I was going to start to be more public with everything about myself. And really, it's just kind of like, hey, kids, like, fair warning. Let's not follow each other on social media. If anyone has questions about what kind of work I do, I want you to just direct them immediately to me. That means pick up the phone and call me mid-sentence and allow me to defend myself. Gave them like some good comebacks if necessary to how to avoid bullying and things like that. And then also for them to process like a woman can make decisions, even decisions that her children may not agree with, her partner may not agree with, the rest of the world may not agree with. But if she wants to do it, she is entitled to make that decision. And she should also get all of the rewards, benefits, and consequence of those decisions. And I was okay with that. Yeah. So once that decision was done, and I was like, if my on the front page of the newspaper, it says like psychotherapists caught fucking in a BDSM dungeon holding a pole party session, like, I would be able to come home and be like, can you believe this shit that they wrote? And everybody would be like, yeah. Then I'm okay. Like, I'm okay. You know, what everybody else on beyond that thinks is so far from my dinner table. Like, what the, why should I care?
Yeah, that's great. You're getting ahead of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So exactly. Telling my own narrative. So now I see all kinds of clients, but primarily a high percentage of my clients are either sex workers themselves who are looking for a non-judgmental place to process their everything from mental health to career development to just like need somebody to talk to about parenting or partnerships to non-sex worker civilian folks who are like, well, shit, like if all her cards are on the table, she can probably help me handle mine, you know?
Yeah.
Or I want to talk to my therapist about some fantasies that I've been having, but I'm kind of nervous that they're going to look at me differently. Well, you know, like I'm not. I'm going to like help you explore them. So, most of my clients, they're not necessarily coming to me for sex therapy. They are coming for therapy from a person who is not going to shame them for their sexual proclivities, past or future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What a gift. Well, should we sort of pivot more directly into our search term?
Yeah.
Sure.
Pregnancy, pregnant porn.
Yes.
We'll talk after the break specifically about some of the actual work you've done in this realm. Mm-hmm. But I'm also curious, do you watch pregnancy porn and under what circumstances?
Yeah.
Must be pregnant to watch pregnancy porn. I definitely watch pregnancy porn when I'm pregnant. Mm. When I am not pregnant, it is not as much of a turn on. I am watching it at that point from a critical eye of like, oh, she could have totally done that differently. But when I was pregnant with this most recent kid, I was stuck on like pregnancy gangbangs.
Oh, very specific. Yeah.
Very. And I don't like gangbangs normally.
Interesting. So that was just something that was just sort of a switch that like flipped on in your head. You're like, yeah, I'm craving like pickles and ice cream and gangbang pregnancy porn.
Yeah. That's so interesting because I feel like when I was doing research for this episode, there was a lot of talk about how as a pregnant woman, you know, people treat you almost like saint-like. That like you don't have any sort of sexuality to you or that you're fragile or things like that. So it's kind of, it's good to know that there's pregnancy gangbangs out there.
Totally. You know, that idea is very, very interesting. I mean, that's the horror Madonna complex, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's so funny because when you're pregnant, you have so many hormones that are raging through your body and you're constantly looking for some type of relief. Yeah. And sex is oftentimes like the number one, you know, a number one craving, honestly, physical craving that goes with those emotions and or relief. So that's quite different. And then fragile, like, this is coming from people who maybe haven't seen a woman like give birth. Like, that's the strongest thing I've ever seen or ever experienced.
Yeah. Absolutely. What's your take on what the, like, speaking more specifically to the kink for folks, you know, it sounds like for you, like, you would get turned on by pregnancy porn as a pregnant person, but folks who are turned on who aren't necessarily pregnant, what's some of your take on, like, what that might be about? I mean, we have our research and I have theories, but I'm curious to know if you have thoughts.
I have no firm theory. None of the books on the back speak specifically to this. But my thought around it is that it's taboo. You know, it's taboo. It's because of that complex that you talk about. I mean, we see this with everything. We see this with religious porn.
Yeah.
Any person we think should not be having sex automatically becomes a fantasy of watching them have sex. And we can see this across the board. What I also find interesting with pregnancy sex is there's like a defilement that tends to be happening in that type of fetish porn, which I personally don't subscribe to for the kind of content that I create. And I found that to be lacking when looking for like these gangbangs. Like, who says gangbangs have to be disrespectful?
Right.
You know, like when you think about it, it's like, it's group sex. I mean, we probably should be calling it just that, right?
Right.
But I did. I also noticed that a lot of pregnancy porn is the woman that is the woman with child is having either desperate sex with someone else, or there's kind of like the defilement, almost like a cuck type energy where it's like I'm having sex with this woman who has another man's child in her belly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of does take that type of dynamic, which, you know, like, that's a thing that happens, right? But it's not really seated in us in the context of, like, the woman is having agency and choice over sharing her body in this way. And then it's also this idea of almost like any woman that would be having porn or doing, excuse me, having sex or doing porn while pregnant could not have the consent of their partner. So they must be, don't have a partner, or they're fucking around on their partner.
Yeah, it goes back to the sort of taboo or the violation of the notion of the pregnant woman as the Madonna, as the, like, exists only to serve the child.
Right.
And to be a vessel as opposed to, like, a fully fleshed out human being making another human being.
Yep.
I think there's something, like, extremely, like, erotic about a pregnant woman.
I think so, too.
You know? Yeah. Like, just the fullness and, like, you know, they're glowing. And also, I can only assume, like, I already just know from my own personal cycle, like, how horny I get. So I can only imagine what would happen with, like, all those hormones and then, like, the blood, the extra blood rushing to your vulva. Like, of course I would want sex.
Exactly. Like, you know, and you know, pregnant women definitely go through their cycles just like, you know, just like we do when we're not pregnant. You know, there's, like, times when we, like, really, really, really are craving, and there's other times, like, ew, gross, penis, what is it doing out? You know, or whatever, you know, genitals, yuck.
What is it doing out?
Did I call
for it?
It
needs to go inside. It needs to go inside right now.
Quarantine.
Put a mask on.
Yeah. I mean, for, like, the first maybe 6 months of pregnancy, like, I couldn't do anything oral because I had spent, like, the last 6 months throwing up. So it was like, the gag reflex, you know. But that didn't mean that everything from the neck down wasn't, you know, excited. I do think that there is body worship aspects of pregnancy porn and fetish that doesn't get really exalted. You know, what you just said about the fullness, like, those are the real compliments that I received and feedback that I received from my fans when I went, like, sexual feedback is like, like, to see your body transform over, you know, because we documented the whole thing on social media, but, like, your breasts, like, they've never been fuller, and I'm like, and they never will be again, you know, or, like, you know, just, like, what positions can you do? It's kind of like even an anomaly for people who have never seen pregnant people have sex. There is an aspect of it that is, like, novel. Like, oh yeah, how does cowgirl look?
Or how does that work? How is it possible?
How do you not tip over? And, you know, like, things like that. So yeah, I do think that there's, like, also the novelty aspect, and then the beauty. What I find is that body worship and that goddess worship, but still including the sexuality of the full being.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there's, like, a thin line of it being, like, fetishized, and like the sexual autonomy or desire of the person, you know. I have some fun stats about pregnancy porn.
Ooh, I want to hear it.
Okay, so Pornhub, their insights blog, which we reference often.
We rely on heavily because there's just not enough insights in the world yet.
But I mean, I love stats. And
they do a really good job collecting them.
Yeah, they do. And, like, I'm like, if you're going to have a monopoly over the industry, like, at least give me this. So.
Give us some data.
Right. So it's women are 27% more likely to search for pregnancy-related porn when compared to men, which I kind of thought was interesting.
No, it makes so much sense to me.
As someone who was pregnant,
Yeah, from the perspective of, like, I want to, you know, we're always looking to see our bodies.
Right.
Doing something.
Totally.
You know? Yeah. And so I think that makes sense. Like, okay, what can I do? What's acceptable? Mm. What are other pregnant people doing? Or, like, I don't want to look at nobody with abs while I'm sitting here 40 pounds heavier. Like, fuck you. I want to see me waddled around between, like, 10 men.
Right. And also, women between the ages of 25 and 34 years old are more likely to search for pregnancy-related porn compared to all other age groups.
Well, that's our pregnancy range, right? Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's more, and when it spikes with men, it's 35 to 44. Yeah. So it's like interesting, like it corresponds to like men maturing later, or like maybe becoming more interested. Yeah. Right. You know, I don't have like real science for that, the reasoning behind that stat, but that potentially correlates.
Mm. Also, according to Pornhub's data, North Dakota has the most pregnancy-related porn searches on their site, followed by folks in Nebraska, South Dakota, Iowa, and Vermont, all of which fall on the list of the 10 most fertile states in the U.S.
No way!
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. And basically, it's been on the rise ever since 2014. In 2017, it was the 107th most popular search term.
Which amazing. Doesn't sound high, but it that is equal but... roughly to redhead and babysitter, which like feel high, you know what I mean? So it's like, no, it's buzzy. It's got its its crowd, you know?
Yeah, totally.
That's interesting. I'm also curious, like, what was happening culturally for us. Like,
same.
I mean, I know I may be older than people on the call or those listening, but I remember a pivotal, like, moment in pop culture or whatever when Demi Moore posed on the cover of a magazine with her full belly nude.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my goodness. Like it was so many things. Like why did she do this? Why haven't I seen this before? Is she gonna do it again? Like all of these things were coming up. And so like that would have like if we had like Pornhub then in its accessibility, I would have been like, oh, I want to see more naked pregnant women, you know? So I wonder what was happening for us culturally in 2017 that had us all about
it. That's a good point. I know. I wonder. That's funny that you mentioned that because like when you Google and you go to like the Wikipedia page of like pregnancy fetishism, there is like a whole section on
Demi Moore.
Of the Vanity Fair in 1991 was
they,
when that was.
They just put a pregnant ballerina if she is on the cover of Vogue Brazil.
Yes.
Did you see her?
Oh, nice. I saw it. Yeah,
I did it.
Stunning.
Oh, I have to check this out.
She's goddess material. Like she is the color of every earth element that there is. And she's on point.
I know. Yeah, wow. I think she did like a Nike ad too or something. Like it's stunning. Yeah.
It is. I saw that the other day and I was just like, "Oh, this bitch got me."
Damn. They're for all of us.
Yeah. It's weird that there isn't more images like that like culturally of like beautiful full pregnant women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I ask that of you, world. So,
yes.
Get with
slowly but surely, we can move the needle in that direction.
Right. One of the many goals, again.
We have a lot of work that we claim we're setting out for this podcast. We'll add that to the list.
Talking about it helps. Talking about it helps.
Exactly. Should we take a little break?
Let's take a quick little break and we'll come back to talk about these videos.
Let's do it.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Still talking about pregnant porn. The first video we're going to talk about, which we can't believe we found on the internet, is called I Caught the Pregnant. It's from Black Heart Studios. Shockingly directed by a woman, Camille Black. With Sadie Holmes and Stefania Mafra, I believe is the performance.
How you
names.
Say that? Yeah. So we start with misinformation.
Clear misinformation.
Yeah, we start with a title that tells us incorrect things about pregnancy as if it's something you can catch.
Right.
Nothing like corona, y'all.
Yeah. Not a virus.
A brief synopsis is these two friends, I think, just had a dinner and she's staying the night and she, one of the girls who is... was not pregnant beforehand, even though we clearly saw she was. she wakes up in the middle of the night and she believes that she has caught the pregnant. And hilarity ensues. So that is the brief synopsis that I will give it. First question is like, why is the one girl already in her thong? Immediately, that was my first question. That's like, we're starting out strong.
Well, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to give them realistic. So I'm going to go with she is super pregnant and she was in pants all dinner or whatever. Right. And she's like, fuck these pants. I'm hot. I'm home. Here's a blanket. Go to bed. I'm taking this off.
And I got
to
pee every once in a while.
I got to pee.
So, So just we'll give her that. Things accessible. Yeah. That's a lovely benefit of the doubt. In no way is it just because this is a porn.
Right. And then also, so the girl, the other girl, Sadie, she falls asleep and then she wakes up, but the lights are still on. So again, I am confused. Really would have loved some reality there.
Just some lighting. Just a quick lighting change.
Even a crossfade, right? Like dissolve, right?
Okay. Yeah. A little bit of something would have been nice. Yeah, and she wakes up and she's like, I think, am I going to start my period or I'm bloated? And then she's like surprised that she's pregnant. But again, we already saw she was pregnant before.
We tried to hide it with a drapey dress, but I definitely clicked back and was like, okay. Yeah,
me too.
Just to check.
Yeah. I also love that sometimes like the campiness of like porn world where, like, she's, like, she, like, pinched herself to see if she was, like, still sleeping. Which I was, like, that's something no one has ever done in reality, you know? But in porn world, like, sure, you're going to pinch yourself to see if you're still sleeping. And she tells her friend, she's, like, I think, you know, I think I caught you're pregnant.
And they have a really bizarre discussion about, like, what could be happening. Like, maybe you worship me and my belly, and then I gave you a belly, which is almost a sweet sentiment, but...
Didn't carry
again,
over.
Science. Yeah. Right. It doesn't track.
Yeah, and then she was like, maybe, like, what did we do? We didn't go out. Like, we didn't go out last night. Like, that would have been a logical explanation. Like, that wasn't...
Yeah, like, you didn't get pregnant, like, last night. Like, it didn't happen and then grow overnight.
Right. But maybe there's a place where you catch pregnant. Like, maybe that's where the first girl caught pregnant.
You never know.
It's a club. Like, careful.
I really hated that it was, like, pain.
Because what then ensues is this most bizarre performance of, like, okay, wait a minute. Are they both now going into labor? Are they just doing, like, randomized pregnancy pain?
Yeah.
Like, the first place we went.
Yeah, they just were, like, groaning and, like, holding their bellies and, like, being in a lot of pain, which, like, to me... is alarming. Like, I'm concerned, you know?
I'm curious if this was both of their first child, like, if this was their first baby. But that's how TV makes people think, like, oh,
that's
I have to go to
is.
The, really labor is like, look, you could just send me home because we've been here for 10 hours and this baby is not coming. And I have some work that I need to get done.
Right.
Yeah.
The intense, like, screaming, holding. I also really hated that they kept looking up to whoever was holding the camera.
Who couldn't stay still?
Yeah.
Yes. Wobbly camera needs approval. I mean, the whole thing made me feel like it just was a weird, like, game of pretend. Like, it really felt like, in a way that was disturbing to me. I was like, it feels like these are middle school girls.
Yes.
Being like,
young.
Let's play, like, pregnancy porn. And, okay, so, like, you're in crazy pain because you're pregnant and we don't have any information about pregnancy beyond that, even though we are.
Yeah.
And that's the way we're going to, like, perform this state is to just, like, squirm around and moan and then, like, look at camera like, really, we're still doing this? Like, I don't know.
I felt like they were, like, looking at camera to be like, what do we do next? You know, like,
yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like, is like we set forth a premise and we're like, I don't know, for plot, like we'll be in pain. And then everybody was just kind of looking at each other and being like,
waiting for still doing for this? A cue of some kind, you know?
Yeah.
And also because I am a perv and I think that it's porn, I'm like, well, when are they going to fuck? You know? Like,
yeah, I'm just like, I was so mad at y'all for sending me that that
you're
clip.
Like, this isn't even porn.
I know.
Because well, I was like, yeah, you know, I was like, okay, once we can get past, like everybody's not a good, you know, like writer of
actor. Yeah, sure.
And all
yeah.
that, right. But like, mm-hmm. give me, like, okay, she's going to like make her feel better, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, there was an obvious.
We would think that the obvious porn plot would come into play here. Right. We'd say, oh, well, yeah. let me teach you a thing or two.
Right.
Quote but unquote, like, yeah. lesbian plot line, you know?
Yeah, like, that's where they could have made this better. Instead of like the other friend all of a sudden being like, ow, I'm in pain too. It could have been like, let me make you feel better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This always works for me.
Yeah. Yes, right.
Yeah.
But instead, they just like, you know, dead bugged it, legs open, pans out, like holding their bellies in pain. And it was concerning on all fronts.
Yeah. Big old missed opportunity.
Yeah. And important to note, this only, it has a 53% rating on Pornhub. So I don't think we're the only people who are upset with this film.
No, I mean, I do think that, like, you know, some people will just want to see pregnant people, right. period,
yes.
right? So that's,
yes.
That's the percentage of people who enjoyed it.
Right.
And I will have to, like, I got to give them credit for finding two pregnant porn stars or porn
Very
folks
true.
That were willing yeah. to do anything together at one time.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. Very good yeah. point.
I'll give them
I
that.
Too was like, this is an anomaly. We have two pregnant performers, but then we just like failed to
yeah.
make it more than just that, you know?
I would yeah. have so loved to have been hired to direct that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How would you have fixed it? So many things. I'm going to begin. Yeah.
So I don't know that I would have even fixed it. I probably just
right.
would have
okay.
started
right.
like from scratch, right?
Yes.
So if
right.
I have, if anyone is listening and has yeah. a pregnant friend that also wants to yes. get into the industry,
yeah.
I think, you know, doing like the thing that I was like, I guess fantasizing is like, oh, it'd be so awesome if like she's not feeling well, like she rubbed her belly with oil,
yeah.
you know, like so even thinking like, you know, ways that
pleasure.
They could have. Yeah, that part.
Yes.
Worship each
yes.
other's bodies and like not mm-hmm. created, again, a scene like from like some straight man's gaze of what
yes.
pregnancy is like,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know,
yeah. Yeah.
that kind of was apparent. Yeah. So like, what is the beauty of supporting another woman when she's pregnant? Mm. And like, I could just think of so many sensual things, even if they didn't want to have sex,
right?
Like how to create yeah. intimacy between two pregnant women, or
worshiping
even like
their bodies. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even mutual masturbation. I would have loved to see them on mm-hmm. that couch with the couch cover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No shade. And yeah. sitting next to each other and just pleasuring each other while watching, you know, pleasuring themselves in each other's
and
presence.
Or each other. Yeah.
yeah
mix
like,
and match.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Incorporate some of that worship that may or may not be part of the kink for our viewers, you
yeah.
know?
Right.
Like, so
right.
many ways to be like, I'm uncomfortable. Let me make you comfortable. Like, such an
yes.
like obvious entry point.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, unfortunately, I think it missed the mark for me.
Yes. right.
In terms,
I don't think you have disagreement on this like,
okay.
among
in
the people you're
for everyone here.
To.
Yeah. Right.
But I definitely also I do think it's cool to be brave and you know, and showcase your body in a form that society tends to reject. So like kudos 100%. For being brave.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about Sacred Sex.
Yeah, because it was a beautiful film.
Something yes. I'm more comfortable talking about.
Yes, yes. So this is from Royal Fetish Films, starring Jet Setting Jasmine and King Mars. This
yes.
is very exciting.
Thank yes. you.
I have to know, did you guys, like, what did you guys, what was the conversation before? Like, were you guys like, are we going to do a shoot while I'm pregnant?
So we got pregnant doing a live show and a shoot. So,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So if you go back to, I forget what it's called. It's something like live show Hedo Jamaica. We
yeah.
were in Hedo. We were hosting a live show, not a workshop show. And,
yeah.
But with the workshop part of it was that the audience was invited to film it. So we
oh.
gave like two or three professional cameras and we let them pass it around, capture the angles they wanted to capture.
Wow.
We had our boundaries of where and how close they could come. They could shout out things that they wanted to see in respectful, like within our boundaries, right?
Right.
So we did this, you know, like a couple, well, 6 months prior to the shoot that you actually saw. And after that scene, so there was like 30 or 40 people in that Jamaica thing.
Wow.
And then after that scene, I was like, holy shit, I'm pregnant. Like, and you know, like, it had
That's
to be.
Insane.
Yeah. And when we did like the timing, it was like, oh my God, like we did it during the shoot. Yeah. So conception.
That's incredible. I mean, I've heard like my sister has like a birth video, but like having a conception video is
pretty cool.
It's next level.
It's like, wow. It's at this moment.
Yes.
You existed. So we have that. And so, like, because, you know, we were just like, it's a no-brainer.
You
know. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
But I definitely wanted to. Like, I mean, I feel incredibly sexy when I'm pregnant. I feel incredibly powerful. I feel untouchable. I mean, there's so many, you know, things that, and then being pregnant and sharing it and hearing other women say, like, other just people in general, like, are you going to keep working? You know, how do you feel like now that you're pregnant about like all of these things? And it kind of reminded me of the first time that I got pregnant when I was a teenager and people saying to me like, are you going to quit school? Are you going to just move home now? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I got like, I really need to do this now. I got a whole extra person to take care of. And so actually that, you know, my first two children were huge motivators to, I have a degree for every child. I'll just put it that way to you. Like, I get super motivated when I'm pregnant. But I felt that exact same, like, shame and judgment. Like, are you going to, like, keep, like, doing porn while you're pregnant? Or, like, what are you going to tell him when he's born? Like, he'll know. Like, he'll be born into my family.
Right.
You know?
Like,
so
he'll be caught up.
He'll be right on. And so, like, that same feeling of, like, whoa, these are other people's shame and judgments because I'm pregnant and expecting me to stop the trajectory of my life because I'm pregnant. And that's so counter. That's just not like that formula does not work for me in my life.
Yeah.
So again, it became like a no, actually, you know what? Just for you, I'm going to make you, you know, a special scene
and rise to the occasion rather than shy away from it.
And I'm, you know, I'm a fetish trainer. So immediately, like, people who have fetishes around pregnancy were like, oh, can you do a clip of this? I'd love to see your belly and all this kind of stuff. So we're like, yeah, we definitely want to create a scene. And I wanted to direct a scene that felt incredibly different than the porn that I was watching, which was my pregnant gangbangs. And the part, not so much like the activity of group sex, one that's not my that's not my top preference. Like, I am all about dominating groups, but group sex isn't usually my go-to anyways. But what I was capturing from those scenes, that more than anything, was again that defilement, pregnant women not looking comfortable in their in their sex scenes.
Yeah.
I remember seeing one where the woman had, like, she was, like, giving head to everybody that was there, and she was on, like, a concrete floor with just, like, this flat-ass pillow under her knees. And I'm like, that's not comfortable for me now.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly not comfortable for her. And even if she can tolerate it, the aesthetic of it is so ugly. Like, it's so, you know, it's just, it doesn't honor her. And, and so I just, I knew for sure I wanted to create something that felt like love. It felt all of those things. I was feeling beautiful, empowered, confident, strong. I wanted to feel respected. I wanted that to, I mean, I always felt respected in my relationship, in my pregnancy, but I wanted that to come across. I also wanted to do different positions so that I could also provide some education in it, where, like, people can go, like, like, the seven, what is it, like, 27% more of women that are looking to see, like, what can my body do while it's pregnant? I want them to be able to see this and go, like, ah, like, that looks like he's getting good access from that.
He's got an angle and she's, like, positioned in a certain way, or, like, she looks comfortable and, like, you're also, I mean, there was some positioning where it looked like you were sharing control in an interesting way, too. You know what I mean? Like, where you could both kind of guide the positioning with each other and feel engaged, and that it wasn't just that like one person was necessarily doing something to the other exclusively.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wanted all those things. And so that was our conversation. I was like, what is this going to look like? It definitely sounded a lot like, and I'm not doing this and I'm not going to do that. And don't even think, you know, and he's like, okay. We're going to eat after.
Yeah.
That's what the real conversation sounded like.
Well, I have to say all of those things absolutely came across. Like, it was incredibly loving. It was like body worshiping. It was like centered on your pleasure. It was just like an ode to like you as a pregnant woman, like wanting to be loved and touched. And it was like, it was beautiful. And it was also so impressive with all of the positions that you guys did. I have like, that was something that I noted. I was like so impressed, and also like when, again, like doing research for this episode, it was like so many women were like, why don't we see more pregnant people having sex? Like it's important. And it was amazing to see you like ride, because I was like, I can't even do that
for 30 seconds.
And I'm like, she's doing it while she's pregnant. Like, are you kidding me?
Thank you.
Like, I'm 31 and my knees are shot.
Mine are too. I must have had some extra fluid or something going on for me.
It was also, for all of the reasons we've obviously been going through here, just felt so deeply real. You know, it just felt like although there were internal cuts, like jumping a little bit just inside of it, it just felt like a continuous sex act.
Yeah.
And that in itself sort of breaks the mold of the porn we're so used to seeing. Like, this is one of the times where I briefly and then was like reminded what a gift, how intimate was, but for a moment, intimate it was, but for a moment I was like, ooh, I feel like I shouldn't be watching. You know, like, I feel like I'm being invited to something very like personal and private, which is such an unattainable sensation watching porn. So it has to be like an incredible gift, to anyone with the fetish, but also to anyone engaging in pregnant sex. So,
Also the neck grabbing I really loved, because that I just feel like is something that like in pregnancy porn, it's like you being like the idea of it being fragile. It's like you can still be kinky and have your fetishes and be pregnant, you know, like that can't go away.
No.
It doesn't have to.
It absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So I loved that was included.
Awesome. Also, my like nerdish, physiologically concerned porn brain was like, and I love that we're seeing that his fingers are squeezing on the side, but he's not crushing a windpipe. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
you
can, like, see the expertise.
He knows.
Yeah, you know, like, detail in the movement. Like, clearly he knows. We know he knows.
Yeah.
You know, we've watched your work and have had him on the show, but
Thank you for noticing that.
There was also this one shot that I really loved. It was like, he was fucking you while you guys were laying on this, you were laying on your back and he was laying on his side. And it was like almost like a POV shot of like down from like your breast and like the side of your face. And it was just like, it felt like, again, like I was like, I shouldn't be watching this. Like, this is just like so intimate. It was like,
That's so funny.
Was like a beautiful, it was just a beautiful shot. And I really loved it.
Thank you. The gentleman that filmed it for us, his name is JP, and you know, we have a really nice relationship with him and his partner, who's also in the industry, and their family, right?
Oh,
so like the being able to feel comfortable with like being in the presence of another man who understands like pregnancy sex is a little bit different. Like maybe he had to be maybe more patient. He got like really interesting angles like you shared and, you know, didn't make any suggestions like, oh yeah, like maybe now she should get down on that flat pillow on the floor and like, you know, he was just very like, you know, like, okay, we can definitely do that. And so just, you know, having an experience with two people who were also allowing me to lead the, you know, directing, and we're like pregnant sensitive. And I think we lack a lot of that in porn in general when we see people shooting anything, like, you know, like, you know, people of color, like you should be some level of culturally sensitive, right? Or shooting a scene with two lesbians that are not lesbians, like that's not being culturally sensitive to and ethical in the content production. So things like that were, those things were really important. And we really lucked out with having a great videographer that was sensitive to our needs as a couple. And I think even his love of his you know, his experience as a man who's experienced pregnancy, that kind of came across too, in like thoughtful lighting and thoughtful videography. So
totally.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah,
wow.
I loved it. It was, it just was like your pleasure was obviously like celebrated and at the center of it.
Definitely felt that. Isn't it interesting, like, hearing the both of you say, like, I felt like I shouldn't be watching that. Like, if sex is good and intimate and there's a connection, then we don't feel like we are, like, that we should have access to that as entertainment or art.
Yeah, you take away the performative layer and it becomes more dangerous somehow.
Yes.
And I think even for me in this episode, I was confronting my own... I can't think of the right word because it's not boundaries. It's a different function than that. But my own like stigma, like internalized stigma around pregnancy and being like, yeah, I do actually keep that a little bit in a box, you know, and separate that from like the porn that I watched get turned on, you know. I think of those as being in different categories. So it was a really fun exploration to challenge myself in that regard and say like, why can't pregnancy sex be for enjoyment and for an audience in this case. Yeah.
I like that. I like the idea that all of our porn doesn't necessarily have to, it's kind of just like sex. Like you don't always have to have an orgasm, right? Like that's a part of the experience. It's not necessarily the experience.
The point, right.
Sometimes with porn, like sometimes you can just watch something that's entertainment, right? Like every drama doesn't make me cry. It doesn't mean that it's not a good film, right? It just doesn't produce the same emotional response or the same physical response. So I don't know. I'm just like in this conversation, just kind of thinking about, like how many times have I watched something that I thought was good, artistic, maybe learned something from it and thought it was beautiful, but it didn't necessarily cause me to have an orgasm. And that's when it's adult entertainment. That's it.
Broadening
and
definitions.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much again for joining us. And before we wrap up, is there anything that you'd like to really explicitly plug so we can send our listeners to your content?
So definitely see our work at royalfetishxxx.com. We have an array of fetishes and just kinks and things that you don't always see transpire in porn. So I want you to take a look at, of course, sacred sex that we're talking about tonight. And then also take a look at the breast milk stuff. Like, this pregnancy thing doesn't end. Like, see my whole journey. You can see conception, pregnancy, and postpartum. It's all there. Yeah, so there's some breast milk work that's out there. Please follow my OnlyFans, where my fans get the most intimate custom content at Jet Set Jasmine. And if I could leave you with anything else... You know, you can't catch pregnant, so, you know, but you can, you can't, but you can catch COVID. So please be careful out there. Stay safe. Take care of yourself and your families.
Amazing. Couldn't have asked for a better landing. And yes, in all seriousness, folks, stay safe because shit's spiking and we don't love to see it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram at Girls on Pern, that's porn without the O, on Twitter at GOP the Podcast, on our website, girlsonporn.com, and now on Patreon, Girls on Porn.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already, and why not just subscribe to the Patreon, too?
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually any good.
Bye!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.